in love.
Nothing but love, cause girl,
let's go. It's no problem to hold you, tongue stroke you, please you like I'm supposed to. Touch spots that ain't ever been touched, and I won't stop till both these squirrels get they nuts. Hey, you know it's good when we freaking, king size squeaking after I ease in. If you was with me, baby, 24/7, best believe that every single day would be a sweet day. Girl, you sweeter than a cheesecake. If you want beef, prophecy would be a beefcake. I make love to you till you fall asleep, leave you with sweet dreams between the sheets.
Lady, I want you. Every time I see you, I just wanna kiss you and hold you. Take you to my place, candlelight dinner, then I start with.
What's good, everybody? It's man Big Don Quinn, live and at you, another True Players podcast episode on the recap of week 3 of the NFL season. Before I even get to the Jets, the Giants, as we see both New York teams 0-3 to start the season, I'm going to start off by talking about a little bit of baseball. I'm going to start with the Mets, where, you know, the season's pretty much over. It was great to see Noah Syndergaard come back tonight and pitch one inning. He had 2 strikeouts. Great to see him back on the mound where he belongs. But he only threw his fastball and changeup. And the second part of the doubleheader, the first part, Marcus Stroman wins the game. He's 10-13 on the season. Lindor drives in 3 runs. You know, nothing much to talk about with the New York Mets. You know, this team failed expectations. They're 74-82 right now, after being in first place at the All-Star break, whereas the New York Yankees once again prove and show that they're the team of New York. They're below 500 at the All-Star break. They're now 85-66. I believe 85-66, probably even 85-62. Not too sure, but they got 85 wins. I know that for sure. So they're in first place for the first wild card spot. And trying to hold off Boston and Toronto, which they're doing a pretty good job in doing. They swept Boston, and now they're playing Toronto as we speak right now. So a few things to take from the baseball season. I will talk about it in another podcast. I promise you guys, we'll talk about the New York Mets, what they need to do to get back to the winning ways and to prevent collapses like they had this year. But it's great to see Noah back. They shut down the ground for the season, which is smart because they're not going to make the playoffs. So let's not even try to bring them back for the sake of just bringing them back. Let them rest that arm out, rest that elbow out, and then come back next year stronger than ever. So let's get back to the NFL. You know, I want to apologize to you guys for not hitting you guys up every week with a recap of the weeks of the season. I'm going through some things, personal and professional things I'm going through right now, which I will talk about a little bit later in the podcast, but not going too much into it. But I want to apologize for that because I promise this is the season that I couldn't wait for, the NFL season. You know, we're waiting for the Jets to play, waiting to see how this Zach Wilson is going to play, waiting to see what the Giants are doing as well. But I'm going to speak about the Giants first. And how I've been a major critic of Dave Gettleman. This guy, after the season, does not deserve to keep his job. Period. See the players he's putting out on the field right now? 0-3. Yes, they had a heartbreaker loss against the Washington football team. They had a heartbreaker the week before off a long field goal. But you're at home. You're supposed to beat the Atlanta Falcons, and you lost 17-14. A few bright spots in the game is we saw Saquon Barkley get his first touchdown. Daniel Jones is playing decent, albeit still fumbling the football, still making some, you know, critical turnovers. But on the most part, you know, those are the good spots of the Giants. Defense is playing decent. But the problem is the offensive line. Dave Gettleman promised us when he came in as GM of the New York Giants that he's going to fix the offensive line. He's been here for 4 years and still has not fixed that offensive line. He made dubious draft picks. One of my favorite, I like to call him out on, is drafting Daniel Jones in the city with the sixth pick in that draft when he should have drafted Josh Allen, who ended up going to Jacksonville. You could have drafted Josh Allen with the sixth pick and got Daniel Jones with the 19th pick. Or if you're scared someone else was going to pick him up, then trade up to try to get him. And he still has not fixed the offensive line of the New York Giants. And Joe Judge, you know, I just think that people need to stop being enamored with the Patriot way and Bill Belichick way, because as we're being shown last season and so in the beginning of this season, the Patriot way, for the most part, you know, not for the most part, but 50% of it was Tom Brady. And right now, that other 50% is not there with Bill Belichick. Hopes he builds that up with Mac Jones. You know, I will speak about Mac Jones a little bit later in the podcast before I get to the Jets part of the situation. But on that note, the Giants need to do better. I want to ask you guys a question before I get into the New York Jets in a second. Which team do you feel is better suited to have a winning season this year, if not even close to being 500 this season? That's a question I want you guys to answer in the comment box on the podcast and let me know. And I will definitely answer you in regards to that. But now let's get to the New York Jets situation. A moment of silence for the New York Jets right now. Okay, enough of that bullshit. The New York Jets have a very good defense. Defense is balling right now. The problem is they don't have an offense. And why they don't have an offense is mostly about coaching and who they decide to play on Sunday. I'm not talking about injuries. Forget about injuries. I'm talking about coaching in general. This is a coaching situation. You have a rookie quarterback that's starting for your team. Hoopla, everyone loved him. He was the next best thing to slice bread. You gave away Sam Darnold. And I'm going to touch about Sam Darnold a little bit later too. Let's get it. But you drafted this guy to be the franchise quarterback. This is Joe Douglas's pick. You have him on a team. You don't have a veteran quarterback to back him up. Well, you got James Morgan and Josh Johnson as his backups. You need someone much more better than that to back up that young quarterback. Because there was periods in the last two games that I saw, he needed to be benched to get his mind off that shit. What was going on in that field? The offensive line still sucks. Yes, you got Vera Wilson. Yes, you got Becton, who's out with an injury. Possibly will come back in week 7. You move George Fant to the left tackle, and you got the other guy, I believe his last name is Moses, on the right side, which the bookends are pretty much, for the most part, solid. But inside the guard position is where I worry about, and I worry about right guard, which was his name, George Van Rooten or something like that. Yeah, he called out Zach Wilson too. You can't call it a quarterback who you let get sacked. First of all, I've seen that game and I've seen interior linemen blow past you, GVR, whatever your name is. I see him blow right past you. So don't throw the quarterback under the bus, talking about he needs to throw the ball out quicker. You got to realize that he's a rookie quarterback. The game is extremely too fast for him right now. Too fast for him right now. And this is where I get into coaching here. Coaching in a sense in this way. Mekhi Becton was drafted to be a road grader left tackle. Why are you having this man zone block? This is the problem with these so-called coaches who come from a system that was run and with another organization. San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan runs a certain offense where zone blocking is the key to success in running the football and passing the ball, right? But the New York Jets offensive linemen are not suited for zone blocking. They're suited for they're road graders. They push, they encounter and push. Mekhi Becton injured his leg because someone rolled on his leg because he was zone blocking. Now, if he was doing his normal blocking, that he was just punching people, pushing people around on the left side, I don't think he would have been injured. I mean, he does have some injury history, but I would not think he'd be injured like that until you lose it to about week six, week seven. That's first. Maybe your coach needs to adjust to the roster that you have while incorporating your system. Adjust to the roster that you have. This is not San Francisco 49ers. This is the New York Jets. I blame it on Robert Saleh. I blame it on LaFleur. I don't ask me his first name. He could be Mark, Mike, whatever. Let's call him LaFleur. You know what I'm saying? His offense is suspect as it is. I don't know what the hell he's calling. I've seen a play from Denver. He had three receivers in the same area and no one on the other side of the field. You have no tight end. Ryan Griffin, he had that big season with his 2 years ago, and he's missing in action. He had a few catches. For the most part, he's missing in action. And that type of offense that they run, they're trying to emulate San Francisco. What made that offense great in San Francisco, you got George Kittle. That big time tight end that could go up the seam and make catches. Do the Jets have that type of tight end in on their roster now? No, they don't. And this is what I have issue with Robert Saleh. I'm calling talking to you, Robert Saleh, to you directly, my man. I understand you're a rookie head coach. But you're not Bill Parcells, you're not Bill Belichick. Don't play yourself. For you to sit there and tell the fans that the reason why one of your receivers is not playing because he doesn't know all the positions of that receiver. Doesn't know the flanker. He doesn't know the other side. He doesn't know how to play the slot. And he doesn't play special teams. That's the reason why he's not playing. A guy who is 6'3", runs a 4.3, is not playing in Denzel Mims. But you play Corey Davis, who had five catches for 41 yards against Denver, but dropped three passes. Doesn't help the young quarterback at all. Another, you had a running back, Ty Johnson, dropped two more passes. Elijah Moore, everyone made Elijah Moore look like Tyreek Hill. They spoke about that like as if he's the next Tyreek Hill. He has nothing on that field that impressed me as a wide receiver for him to get that much burn. And Braxton Berrios is a special teamer. He's a punt returner. Yes, he's been the safety valve for Zach Wilson. That I must say, he is a safety valve for Zach Wilson. But he's not that great of a player to be utilized as a true safety valve. Yes, Jameson Crowder is injured. He had COVID. He's injured his groin and all that stuff. I understand that. But there's no excuse for Denzel Mims to not play coach decision for 2 weeks straight. Not after when he played three snaps against the Carolina Panthers. The three snaps he played, he had one reception for 40 yards. I don't care if he can't play the slot. I don't care if he can't play special teams. That man is a flanker. Use him as a flanker. Use him as a deep threat. That's what he does. Isn't what the West Coast offense is traditionally all about? Big receivers with running who could run after the catch. Wasn't Jerry Rice 6'2"? Was it John Taylor 6'2"? Was it Terrell Owens 6'3"? In the heyday of the West Coast offense under Bill Walsh, in which Kyle Shanahan is a descendant from because his father worked under Bill Walsh. this is the type of offense you want to run with the Jets, you have to put the receivers in position that could play that, that could play that offense. Is Denzel Mims the greatest route runner? Not really, but he's 6'3", runs a 4.3, and he can get them jump balls in the red zone. And he's a deep threat, mind you. He's a deep threat, too. The reason why Denzel Mims is not being utilized properly, whether it's in practice or in the game, is coaching. He needs to be on the field. There's no reason that Elijah Moore, especially Braxton Berrios, to get more play time than Denzel Mims on this team. Now when the prize free agent that Joe Douglas signed, Corey Davis, is dropping 3 passes. Oh, by the way, the week before that, when Zach Wilson threw 4 interceptions, one of those interceptions was a ball thrown to Corey Davis that went through his hands. If you want this young quarterback to succeed, you got to put the right players around him to help him to succeed. The best way to help a young quarterback is having a big receiver who could catch the ball, one, and use a skill set that Zach Wilson possesses, which is rolling out of the pocket and throwing deep. If you don't play Denzel Mims, you don't have that on the field. Robert Saleh, your job is to win games. Isn't it what you said in your press conference, all gas, no brakes? But let me tell you something right now. The Jets are 0-3. Jets are 0-3 right now. You're on half gas with emergency braking on. You're pressing the accelerator with your emergency brake on. Not only that, you're running on 3 tires and a donut. But let me give you a better analogy. You're running on two full tires, 1 flat tire, and a donut right now. If you're going to go all gas, no brakes, you better have 4 full tires, 18-inch rims going, fully inflated and ready to rock and roll. And that's on you, Robert Saleh. That's on you. I don't want to see you on the post game talk about, oh, we're doing the best we can, because it's not fair to your fucking defense to go out there and play the way they're playing and not get support from the offense. It's not fair. And he says, oh, maybe we're going to give Denzel Mims an opportunity to play because we have some injuries in the wide receiver position. That's the reason why Denzel Mims is going to play, because of injuries to the wide receiver position. How about the wide receiver position is not good enough right now for him not to play? That man should be on the flanker. If I was coaching this New York Jets team with that roster I got right now, Corey Davis is on one side, on the other side, and Denzel was on the other side, and Jenna Jameson Crowder is in the slot until Elijah Moore shows me something. I'm not saying Elijah Moore has given nothing, but he has done nothing. He has done nothing on that field to impress me. I don't see him running away from anybody, from what I've seen, unless I missed it. This team gets shut out against the Denver Broncos 26-0 this past week. Running game, you don't run the ball enough. It's either you don't run the ball enough or you don't have the offensive line to block the running game. So we know the offensive line can't block the passing game. Can't block for the passing game. That's why you need to have Zach Wilson roll out. Roll out and be able to throw the ball down the field or throw the ball to a big receiver. That's where Denzel Mills comes into play. And I hope when Denzel plays, I hope he plays more than 3 snaps this coming week. That's what I'm hoping for. And I hope, I'm praying that he gets on that field. He plays more snaps than 3 snaps. Hope he gets 7 receptions for 100 yards. Just to shut up the coaching staff, shut up everybody else. Did he have a slow start with a new regime? Yes, he did. He ate some bad salmon, had some food poisoning. shoot him for that. Okay, but doesn't deserve to get a DNP for two out of 3 weeks of the NFL season. He doesn't deserve that. Not when Corey Davis is dropping pass or dropping passes all over the place. You're prize free agent. And Joe Douglas needs to do better. Because you promise that you like Gettleman promise everybody a better offensive line. And this offensive line has not been better. And for once, I can't say it's entirely your fault. It's entirely the coach that you hired's fault. What works in San Francisco will not work with this team because that team doesn't have the offensive line that the 49ers have. Use a blocking scheme that fits the talent of your offensive line. Stop leaving the defense out to dry with a bad offense. Mosley is a beast. Robert Salas said at a press conference he wasn't sure if C.J. Mosley fit his system because C.J. Mosley mostly played a 3-4 alignment defense. But let me tell you something. When you have talent, you could play anywhere. And C.J. Mosley has proven that. Quinnen Williams had a sack and a half. And I seen the post-game comments that he said when Janelle Coakley wanted to speak about the amount of sacks he had on that day. He's like, no, I don't want to talk about that. We lost. We got to get better. That's what he said in so many words. And truly, the team needs to get better. The defense with Lawson and the pass rush, I like this team. They can rush that passer. Can they use a little bit better cornerback play? Yes. Can they be a little bit more stouter against the running game? Yes. But this defense is good. But defense needs support from its offense. The defense can't be on the field for 45 to 50 minutes a game. Cannot. That is not fair. And Robert Saleh, you have 3 games under your belt as head coach. I was excited for you to be here as the head coach of the New York Jets. But don't let me scream for Adam Gase. Don't let me scream for him. The team is 0-3 right now. And that QB, no matter how much he tried to hide the fact that he is a tough guy, tough mentally, he looks lost out there. And yes, for my interpretation of the game, he is seeing ghosts too. Only difference is he spawned in Sam. He's not verbalizing it out loud. Coach better, guys. Play the best players. Don't worry about if they can't play a certain position. They don't play special teams. Play the best players. Maybe this offense could look like an NFL offense. I've seen college offenses look better than this offense right now. And I don't watch college football. Need to coach better. This is the only way the team can get a W next week. So before I end this podcast, I'm going to give a special shout out and love to all my fellow healthcare workers who are going to lose their jobs or have lost their jobs or have resigned due to the mandate that is placed in New York by the governor. I'm not going to call anybody any names right now. It doesn't make any sense to do that on the True Players podcast. Maybe if you catch me on Bill Convo and Family with Joey G, when I'm having a little liquor in my system and I go wild on it, you'll hear me say a whole lot of shit about that governor. But I want to give a special shout out to everybody who have lost their jobs, who resigned, who are going to lose their jobs by the end of the week due to the mandate. My prayers and thoughts are with your family and with you guys. I hope you guys do the best. You guys were the best. I worked with some of the best people during the pandemic period. My prayers with you guys. Keep your head up. Be strong. And there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. but it may not be in the healthcare field anymore for all of, for most of us. Maybe to do something else. It's an opportunity to look yourself in the mirror and find out what else you could do for yourself right now. Because sure as hell, the healthcare field don't give a damn about any of us. They care about the agenda and having money filtered in their pockets. Last year's heroes, this year's zeros and unemployed. And we're getting ridiculed by every single person who is not in the field, who does not even have the courage to be a healthcare worker. Because to be a healthcare worker takes a lot of courage. So anybody who's not in the healthcare field who wants to attack us healthcare workers who decline the mandate and decide to go our separate ways, I'm going to tell you guys something. Eat a dick. Because you're going to find out what's going to be when the hospitals are overran and there's no staff to take care of you. You're going to find out. Keep your opinions to your goddamn self. You make a decision. But in this country, in the land of the free, the home of the brave, supposedly, you have the right to make a decision on everything you do. On everything you do. As long as you're not breaking any laws. That's all I got to say about that situation. But before I end this podcast, you know, I want to extend, you know, an opportunity to the healthcare workers who are displaced because of the mandate. Anybody who has any savings or retirement that's stuck into your previous employer, I can help you roll that over to a different vehicle. Feel free to contact me. I will definitely put my email address in the description of the podcast. Feel free to contact me and I can assist you with that. And if you got anybody looking for an extra opportunity to make some income, I'm also could help you out with that. So definitely hit me up. Like I said, it'll be the email will be on the description of the podcast. Feel free to contact me. I'm here to help you guys. I'm here to support you guys. I'm here to support everyone. Not just the people who lost their jobs. I'm here to support everyone. It's about time everyone support each other to get through this period together, not separately. There's a lot of big talkers talking smack, but you know, they're gonna have to answer to the universe sooner or later. And I guarantee you, they don't have the courage to look that in the universe in the eye. I guarantee you that. So definitely, you can watch this podcast on YouTube and Twitch. Listen to the audio version on Anchor, Spreaker, Spotify, Joey G Radio, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other platforms that has a True Players Podcast on the platform. It's your man Big Dom, signing off. I'll talk to y'all soon.